Micah, I hear a little updog on your mic today. What is that?
Hear a little updog? What's updog?
Oh, what's up with you?
Wait, what?
No, oh. I messed it up. I'm Michael. I can't get it. I'm not as cool as Jim.
No, none of us can truly be as cool as Jim, or at least not as like easygoing as Jim.
I really thought that was going to go perfectly, and it messing it up made it better, I think. So,
yeah, that the listeners out there, that was not planned. That was just the perfect execution.
It was half planned, and it went so wrong.
Perfectly poor execution.
Thank you. I do it for the show. It's for the show.
Oh, Lord. This is season 2, episode 13. It is The Secret, and it has a very, very good cold open that is among my favorites for sure, because the way that Michael reacts as he's trying to tell this joke that we just told, when he finally gets it, and then he messes everything up and runs away into his office, and he's so upset. And my favorite part is not even him, like, darn it. It's Dwight just being so excited that Michael has asked him about his day. Nothing, man. What's up with you?
Yeah, Jim's coolness in delivering this kind of cheesy joke makes the joke great. And then you see the light up expression on Michael's face when he gets it, because of course he doesn't even get it right away, which is also extra funny. And he's trying it out all over the office, and no, it's just not going right for him. And then when it finally does go right, who messes it up but Michael himself? He still can't even deliver. He just gets so excited that the joke kind of landed at first. Like, he was set up for it. He was set up for the alley-oop, and he was supposed to spike it, and he fails, just like me. So I understand you, Michael. I do.
I get it. So when this episode would have aired, I was in school, and like, I didn't watch The Office at the time, like when it first came on, but I know when this episode came out, because that day at school, there were so many kids telling updog jokes.
Really? Yes. Like it resonated throughout the school?
It did. I will never forget. Like, people, one of my good friends even was trying to get me throughout the day. He kept like saying updog and different things. And I was just sort of like looking at him like, I don't know what's going on. And I never fell for it. But like, I didn't even know it was a joke. And then later on, when like I first, like my first watch through of The Office, when I got to this episode, I was like, oh, that's what that was? He wanted me to say, what's updog?
Oh, it's so good. But today in The Office is the spring cleaning in January, because if you clean in January, you don't have to clean in the spring. That's Michael's theory on it anyway. Although I do think it is kind of probably a good exercise, because, you know, in the middle of January in winter, after all the holidays are over, everyone's kind of in a slump. It does kind of feel good to clean things out and to get a fresh start on your working life. So I don't find this to be a weird day. You know, like, I think it's a nice, it's a smart management day that Michael has set up. Actually, so good job, Michael.
Good work, Michael, by gum.
But so Dwight is in charge of these spring cleaning in January efforts, which I love that. I think that's perfect. Of course, who else would be in charge but Dwight, making sure everyone stays on task? And we discover that Oscar's out sick, but it's a Friday. So Dwight's suspicious.
Yes, Dwight is very suspicious, which is, you know, that's standard MO for Dwight. He's pretty sure that Oscar is taking the day off on spring cleaning day and pretending to be sick. But we know better. Or rather, you know, they try to figure out, is that the case? They call Oscar up, and Michael mentions Oscar's famous Hispanic cleaning ethic.
Ooh.
And that's why he wants to have him there at the office.
And Oscar doesn't even acknowledge it. He's just
no,
like,
he knows. He knows that's how Michael is. And so what I like about this part is it's like a joint effort while Michael is talking to Oscar on the phone. Dwight is nearby typing things into WebMD and trying to figure out if what his symptoms are actually true. And it's just so funny because it reminds me of like me in the past going to WebMD and like, here are the things I'm dealing with. And it's usually like, well, you either have cancer or a brain tumor. So it's kind of a miracle.
Or a cold.
Or a cold. It's one of the three. You never know. Just roll the dice. But yeah, he ends up like getting all of the things or saying all of the things that, would lead to you believing that he has the flu. And that doesn't matter. I love what comes next with Michael being like, yeah, I'm going to need you to drop everything that you're doing and make this a priority, because if people aren't at their desks working, then like a company completely fails or something like that, something along those lines. But it's so funny because like he's sending someone away from doing work while he's saying that it's so important for people to be there to do work.
Yeah, it's Michael and Dwight kind of treat the whole office kind of it's like they're fantasy playground kind of thing, because I see like the whole like, all right, I'm gonna need you to drop everything and I'm gonna need you to spy on Oscar. Like, that sounds kind of cool and fun, right? Like, it does. And they are acting out these kind of whimsical fantasies that they might have of being spies, or you know, or Michael being the type of boss of like an FBI agent kind of situation. Like, that's how I see them.
Yes.
Like going through the motions of this in a really small, minor, insignificant way of, we're going to find out if this worker is having some time theft and that he's not really sick. So I just really love that they are so delightfully childlike in that aspect, and it makes it really funny and fun. And I think in another situation, I would appreciate that kind of person. Like, I love that kind of fun when people don't take themselves as too adulty, but at the same time, we are seeing them kind of being overstepping bounds by a lot.
That can lead to some interesting things that happen, but this is just it's out there.
It's inappropriate for a workplace. It's different when you're like in a group of friends and you're like, ooh, let's go spy on so and so, is like a fun, silly thing to do. And then it is a workplace, so there are different boundaries. I really like in this episode that we get a nice look at Kelly, and she sets up the scene for kind of the mood of the main, of the main plot of the show. And I think the B plot is Dwight's investigation into Oscar, and the A plot opens up with Kelly talking to Pam about her wedding. And I feel like this is the first time that we have really seen Kelly's personality. Right? Like, it's the first time that it's coming out, and she's more vibrant and she's more interested and she's more chatty. Like, before we saw her as more of a quiet background character that might have a funny line here or there. But we're seeing, we're getting to see Pam. She's talking to Pam about her wedding dress, and she boldly asks to be a bridesmaid, and it's so inappropriate because it doesn't seem like that they're that close at all. But
I was so uncomfortable when she did that. Like, it's just so overstepping, and
it is, but it's so Kelly, right? It becomes so Kelly.
Yes.
And we're seeing that of her. It's showing the beginnings of at least laying the foundation for her needy personality, for her love of fashion and style, and interjecting herself into being the center of attention of things that we come to love and laugh at Kelly for. That's who she is. But this is kind of the birth of Kelly, and she starts off with a bang, like, let me just go ask this basic coworker to be a bridesmaid in her wedding.
so she can get another bridesmaid,
buy a new dress.
But yeah.
And also to just be up there, you know, like, Kelly is the type of person becomes the type of person that we see in the show who likes to kind of stand out as a focus of attention. So being a bridesmaid, you standing up front and all this kind of stuff. So you become like part of the wedding instead of just a guest. But it's pretty bold of her. And in the midst of that conversation, Michael comes over and makes an inappropriate comment about Pam's hair being very sexy down. Because, you know, Pam is showing it off to Kelly because they're chit-chatting about these, you know, surfacey things, which I think either a new friendship or a base level friendship, that's some of the things that you tend to talk about. But Michael drops the big line as he walks away from that painful exchange, and Jim is just sitting there and he says, "Man, this must be torture for you."
We both just have that reaction. I mean, what else can you do? It's just like, no, Michael, please don't do this.
And this is coming right off of the back of Jim using Michael as like a confidant out on the boat. And he tells him these things and he thought it looked like it was going to be cool. Right.
Like, exactly. Like, that's what I like about this is that we had an episode in between where, so the injury happened and we had this episode where you think, okay, maybe things are going to be fine. You know what I mean? Like isn't necessarily going to be an issue. And then suddenly it's like, oh, there is that seed that, that Jim planted for himself that has now sprouted into, I don't know, some carnivorous plant. It's gotta be a carnivorous plant, like sprouted into a Venus flytrap. And the Venus flytrap is Michael accidentally telling every single person ever about, Jim's crush on Pam. It had to happen. And we may have thought that it wasn't going to happen, but here it is. What is it? The chickens have come home to roost. Your fruits are ripe. Whatever the metaphor, it's happening.
Yeah. Jim's look, his facial expressions, he knows what Michael said is true because he is feeling it. And we were seeing that on Jim's face kind of in the background before Michael even said it because he's so close to Pam and he's overhearing all of this stuff. But the problem is, it's Michael who's armed with this information, and that is so dangerous for Jim, especially in the hotbed of Gossip Town, which this office is. And we have seen the foundation of that laid before us in previous episodes with gossip just exploding throughout the office. So, Jim's Excuse Town confessional that follows this moment is so good because he's trying desperately to diffuse the situation in front of the cameras. It's like the first line of defense that Jim is trying to put up after Michael just goes by and drops this giant truth bomb all over the place for almost anyone to pick up hearing, right? Mm-hmm. And he's just trying desperately to tell the cameras, like, look, this was years ago. It's totally fine. I told him things. And he's just like, I confided in the world's worst confidant. Like, he's just coming to the realization of, I have created a monster. I've made a terrible mistake.
It's the worst mistake. So now that, you know, Michael has this secret and Jim is saying, like, hey, we should probably talk about how you cannot tell people, please, for the love of God. Michael, as is his way, as we will one day learn in, when he finds out that he's going on a date, it changes who he is. When he finds out that he is, that he has this secret that nobody else has, then it becomes this huge thing where it was just like a secret to keep among friends. And Jim is sort of trying to, keep him from making things worse. Well, by telling him that he's the only one that knows this secret, the secret gets so big in Michael's eyes and he feels like this deeper connection with Jim that he didn't have before. And so he's so excited about it. And as is Michael's way to be this sort of dog chasing a bone, he's like, all right, well, got to take this friendship as far as we can. I'm going to like comment on the soda that Jim chooses at the soda machine
and then copy him.
Oh God. And then copy him and like talking. I love the line. Did you see the game last night? And Jim's like, which game? And Michael's like, I don't know any of them.
It is. He's desperately, he translates in his mind of Jim going into his office and kind of appealing to Michael and being like, look, we got to keep this on the DL. And then Michael translates all of that into meaning like, I have a special secret about Jim. Therefore, that means me and Jim are besties. And he does all the wrong things. It's like, if you're just cool about it, it'll be fine. But no, he has to take it to the extreme of copying Jim's hair to the point of everyone's like, are you wearing a wig? Like, cause it looks so weird because he's combing it forward. And he just spends the entire day kind of annoyingly shadowing Jim, like a little brother would, looking up to a big brother. And that's the main plot of, we're trying to keep Michael quiet, but we just can't. And in the meantime, I want to open up the door of, we get to see also Ryan. So not only do we get like a nice highlight of Kelly in this episode, even though it's small, it was a good one. We get to see Ryan a little bit more too. I love a little Ryan here and there.
Just a touch.
He's so apathetic about everything.
Yes.
And Dwight chooses him of the important task of heading up the spring cleaning. And Ryan's lack of enthusiasm just makes it so wonderfully. I love the two of them, like Dwight, who cares so much, juxtaposed with Ryan, who cares so little. It's comedy magic.
Yeah. And the fact that like Michael really likes Ryan, despite the fact that he's so apathetic. And so like, if Dwight is going to choose anyone, like if he's going to trust anyone with the job, it's going to be Ryan, because he knows that like Michael likes the guy quite a bit. So it's so funny to me that that's like Dwight is left choosing Ryan and nobody else, because he what he cares about in his mind is like pleasing Michael. Mm-hmm. And so that would be the logical next step. But Ryan cares so little, and it's got to be frustrating for Dwight.
It is.
So how do we go about getting Michael away from the office so that he's not revealing secrets? What could we possibly do?
Yeah, Michael is just absolutely relentless with his friendship with Jim. And I feel like to avoid a scene, Jim agrees to go out to lunch with Michael, because mm-hmm. he just won't leave it alone. He tries every single way to be like, let's get away and let's talk about Pam. Let's P-A-M is my code word for Pam. Like, oh, just everything is just so uncool and just so obvious. So Jim's like, fine, we'll go out to lunch. And Michael has quite the favorite lunch location.
Oh, God. Okay, question. Well, no, first I'll say what question. It is. It's Hooters. of course it's Hooters. In the middle of the day on a business lunch, he goes to Hooters. My question for you, Tiff, is, have you ever eaten at a Hooters?
No, I have not.
Okay.
Have you ever eaten at a Hooters?
Unfortunately, it was.
I'm so glad one of us has eaten at a Hooters.
It was not my choice, listeners.
Is it ever our choice?
Okay, true, like- true. I believe I was in high school. It was definitely before college, so it must have been in high school. And it was like my family had like a basketball dinner there, which is just like,
wait, your whole family?
No, it wasn't like all my family. It was like my dad and his team, his basketball team that he coached, and like the parents of the different kids on the team. And for some reason, they picked Hooters as the place to eat dinner. I don't know if it was funny or something. It's not funny. And obviously there are a lot of problems with Hooters, but the main thing that I don't understand is how the place stays in business, because the food is terrible. I remember it being just disgusting.
I mean, come on. We know how they stay in business.
Okay, fair. Yes, that's true. chicken breast hold the chicken, as it were.
Every trope that Michael could possibly think of, he throws out at dirt. I'm sorry to interrupt your story, but Michael in Hooters is the worst. I don't know what it's like. It's like pouring vinegar into baking soda. Just it's everywhere.
I was thinking like, it's like a kid who just had a peanut butter sandwich with way too much jelly on it, walking into an art museum and touching all the paintings. Like, you're like, oh God, he's going to ruin everything. And he's like got sticky fingers, which just makes everything worse. And that's how I feel. Michael, he's just like this little, and he's just running around and ruining things. And like in there, it just, he can't help but to ruin things, which is how I feel like a little kid with grape jelly on their fingers is.
Yeah, Jim is so uncomfortable, but yet he's still trying to be Jim and just like get through the situation and not make a scene about it. Michael's making jokes about milk and chicken breast, and he tells the staff that it's Jim's birthday, which is one of those like annoying restaurant chain things that like that goofy friend of yours does. And everyone's like, nobody wants this attention.
No,
no one wants it. It's not worth the free cake.
No, it hates is not. I hate it.
It's terrible. And Jim just wanted to eat his ham and cheese sandwich at the office, like he said in the beginning. And I love that he just orders
yes,
the ham and cheese
sandwich.
Yes, me
too. That is so good. And that is the thing is like, okay, so I think I talked about this before, but my little brother told me at one point that I reminded him of Jim. And whenever he said that, like, I was super offended because I see Jim being sort of kind of the way that he treats Dwight at times, like whenever, mm-hmm. you know, I've talked about it before. That's not important. My point is, in this moment, that is exactly where I see what my brother was talking about, because that is a move that I would pull, like to go out to a place and then get the same thing that I would have had while I was at the office just to make a point. Like I can still do that same thing and I'm not going, like it doesn't change anything.
Mm-hmm. It's still what you wanted. Exactly. You wanted what you wanted and it's not going to change. It's like, this is still what I felt like.
that sort of like, I don't know, what is the word? It's sort of like sneaky stubbornness or something. It was good, but the story of mine, like really that's all it was we went there and it was not, the food was not good. And I was just like, this is not, I don't understand why we're here. And it's a little bit like Joe's Crab Shack where you like, they probably make most of their money on the stuff that you buy there. So like the shirts are, you know, 25 mm-hmm. bucks or something. And Jim does come back with a Hooters shirt. So
I didn't notice that. I didn't notice he had a Hooters shirt on, not on, but like with him.
With him. Yeah.
Oh, so I want to jump back to the B plot. Because I just have to say, the visual of Dwight eating those black jelly beans, it's so funny. Why are there no more black? Nobody likes the black one. Nobody eats the black jelly beans. And his teeth. Oh, and then Pam dumping them all out because he was going through
bowl.
With his meaty fingers. It's just such a good little moment. And we also have a little B-plot things throughout the episode. Ryan's confession of cleaning out his desk, that he's like, I could be out of here in like 5 seconds. No one will know that I was here. He's trying to be as minimally involved in the office as he possibly can. And I love these little moments with Ryan. I do want to jump back. Am I allowed to last week? Because yes. I had a friend tell me that they're like, you left out the best part of last week's episode Ryan crushes up the aspirin into Michael's pudding to get his foot to feel better. They said that's one of their favorite things that Ryan does. He's like, it's basically the same thing I do to get my dog to take his like heart medicine. The way Ryan just apathetically treats situations, and we see that sprinkled throughout the episode in little confessionals or little side shots that the documentary crew has picked up. It's just delightfully building Ryan's character in a really fun way for me.
Yeah, I like that. I'm glad that we retouched on that moment, because these are these little vignettes that sort of give Ryan more depth. And it was mm-hmm. a very clever way to deal with Michael that worked for him. And like, it worked for him so well, because after he eats it, he's like, I feel like my foot is healing itself.
Yeah, it was. Sorry for the little digression, but digression back in time. Now we're back. We're back in the office.
What ends up sort of, I think, carrying the story along is that Michael tries to get this Hooters trip expensed, and Angela is not having it.
Yeah, he is over talking to Toby, right, in the back where I love a little Toby. And the cat gets out of the bag at this situation because Michael leaks that Jim was upset because he has feelings for a coworker who's getting married. Oh my gosh, Michael, you're so subtle about this. And yeah, everyone guesses who it is. And of course, the gossip train quickly just barrels itself down through the office, and everybody knows. Everyone knows.
One of my favorite one-liners happens during that scene, though, because Michael is sort of getting lambasted by Toby for all of the different stuff that he's done before. And one of the things that he tried to expense was a magic kit. And when he says, "I put a cigarette through a freaking quarter," I lose my stuff every time I hear him say that was supposed to sell things is hilarious. Like a paper supply company, what does that have to do with putting a cigarette through a quarter? Mm-hmm. But yeah, it goes around the office. You see everybody talking about it, everybody passing the stuff on. Even Phyllis and Angela are gossiping back and forth, and Angela tries to play like she doesn't want to get into it, but then she does. It definitely is getting around, and I think that's when Jim realizes that if he doesn't tell Pam, she's going to hear it from others, and it might come out like not the way that he wants it to.
Yeah, I find this decision of Jim's to be extremely noble of character and brave, actually, because he decides to, instead of just letting it all get blown out of proportion, to go and have a sit down and talk to Pam about it before she hears it from everyone else. Now, it is covering his own butt, but at the same time, it's kind of the right thing to do in this situation, that it got out, things got out of hand, people started talking. But it is really hard to say this kind of stuff out loud for somebody, you know, like any kind of heart to heart confessional moment that you would have, whether it's someone you have feelings for, or it's like you broke something, or, you know, any of those hard conversations, it really takes a strong person to sit down and kind of take the responsibility out in the open like that. And
yeah, it's no small thing for him to do that at all.
In real life, that is a very hard situation to be in, you know, like if you don't learn the right way how to communicate with people when you're younger, like you could just easily just disappear into the shadows, just be like, I can't deal with this, I'm shutting it down. But it takes a lot to put yourself out there and take that leap, and I find that's always the hardest thing to do, right? Like So I appreciate that Jim does this. And
I mean, it's the right thing to do, and and he realizes,
but he does
that.
He does lie a little bit to her.
He does.
But he's
he dampens.
Yes, he does dampen. He lies.
He white lies.
Yeah. But he's doing it to protect her, right? Like, so.
And himself,
I think, like,
a little bit.
Oh, yes, definitely himself, but also a little bit her. Like, I think that it would be way too awkward to put this out there, and also he doesn't want to give her that burden.
Right. Exactly. Yep. I agree. Yeah. Cause so then she's engaged now. Well, she's going to be getting married now. So to put that on her, knowing in the past sort of how they've been, it is a kindness to her as much as it is a protection for him.
Right. But honestly, she doesn't look happy that he says he's totally over it.
Yeah. She doesn't. Old Pammy. She doesn't look happy.
No, she has, she's pretty good about hiding her emotions generally. Well, like once you know Pam and you see the close-up shots of her face, you see it all because, you know, Jenna Fischer is a good actress, but you also know that Pam is a very introverted person and she's not just going to be like displaying her emotions and her feelings like right out there on her sleeve. It's more, but you can tell that
it's subtle.
Yeah, she's not, she's like, oh, okay. You know, like, it's like she's hearing the words, but I know she's not really believing them. But when someone tells you something, it's like, okay, I guess I have to believe this because this is the truth that's out there right now.
Yeah.
And it isn't, you know, it's like she doesn't want to hear it, but she does. Yeah.
It's like a need to hear it, don't want to hear it, but kind of need to hear it. Sort of thing. So we should, you know, after that has happened, we got to go back to what's going on with Dwight and Oscar? Because Dwight, you know, he leaves to go check up on Oscar at his place and is sort of waiting outside, you know, doing his little stakeout. Mm-hmm. And Oscar does arrive with a passenger, and they both sort of get their bags out of the back seat. And this scene is hilarious to me because it is exactly who Dwight is. Like, he is so focused on one thing that he doesn't sort of see the clues. So he's like so pumped that he's found out that that Oscar was faking sickness, but everything that's going on between Oscar and this passenger reveal,
who we find out to be Gil. His name is Gil.
And we find
it's
out
it's Oscar's roommate, right?
Roommate. Like what we tell our close-minded older family members, that the person of the same gender that's living with us is just a roommate. No, this is Oscar's partner. And so we all realize that Oscar has a partner, but good old Dwight is just like, I found out that Oscar was faking sick, and I'm going to like not use that against him because that is just malfeasance for malfeasance's sake.
I do love that this gets a lot of airtime. Like, it gets a lot of time in the episodes that we have that are so short that we get this great reveal about who Oscar is, a little bit more about his personal life, and that fleshes out who he is as a character for us. And I also think it's really interesting that Dwight chooses his own gain over loyalty to Michael to get a little bit of leverage.
Yes, I agree. Like, I think this is a very rare thing for Dwight to do.
So we see a little bit of a conniving edge to Dwight, that he is a little bit he's on Dwight's team also, not just Michael's team.
Yeah.
You know?
So ooh, I like that.
I do like that.
Team Dwight.
Team Dwight. But this kind of, if we haven't mentioned it before, there have been a couple past instances about Oscar trying to pass, I guess would be the best way.
Yes,
like
absolutely.
In the office, mm-hmm. Because he didn't want to bring that part of his life into work, which is completely understandable. I don't think it was like a lying, denying thing. I just think that he was protective of his personal life around his coworkers.
Exactly.
He didn't want to have to talk about his sexuality with everybody in the office, which is completely understandable, right? Because like, straight people don't need to do that. Like, they don't need to
precisely. And like, you have to think about the situation that he's in daily. He knows how Michael is. He works right with Angela,
yep.
who he believes could be potentially pretty judgmental about the fact mm-hmm. that he's gay, and anybody else too. Like, I completely understand, as a person who was closeted for a period of time in a working environment, where it was nowhere near anything close to what the office was, you still spot, like, you're on the lookout for microaggressions. Like, these are macroaggressions that he's yeah. dealing with, but like, you look for microaggressions, and each one of those reminds, or like, is sort of like a check mark next to, no, I'm not going to tell these people.
Mm-hmm.
So I can only imagine what his sort of, his list of check marks looked like because of all of the stuff that goes on. So it totally makes sense that he would keep this part of himself, away from work. And yeah, like you're saying, regardless of any of that, it's just like, it's only the people's business who he chooses to share it with, and mm-hmm. if he wasn't wanting to share it with work, then so be it.
Yeah, so I like this little reveal about Oscar, and I like the way that they did it. They didn't make
they did
a big deal
job,
about
yeah.
it. They did it. It was very natural of a way to do it, especially because Dwight didn't even notice or really care. Like, you know what, like, he just, it's not a big deal. Like, so they're just like, he doesn't know, like, it didn't even occur to Dwight. But I just think that that's kind of cool that the show didn't make it a big thing.
Yeah,
that
I
makes
agree.
Sense at this moment.
Yeah, I was going to say right now.
At this moment.
But the only way that the show makes it a big thing is because there are characters who would make this a big thing. And so, mm-hmm. like, we have to see that play out.
Right.
Now we'll go back and we see Jim going to Michael and saying, bruh, I told you this secret. Why the heck did you tell mm-hmm. people? And Michael is so distraught. I just hope that this doesn't affect our friendship.
He starts crying. Like, Michael starts crying when Jim confronts him. Totally, like, Jim confronts him in, like, the coolest, chillest way possible. Be like, what's up, man? Like, what happened?
And right. It's so chill. Like, he could have shouted. He could have done anything. But he didn't.
It kind of shows that Jim would make a really good parent. I feel like I want Jim to be my dad. Like, he's like so chill about like Michael's mistake. And he's like, look, dude, it's one day. Just learn from it and move on. Okay?
I think that he would have been a little bit more likely to be upset or bothered by it if he wasn't made so uncomfortable by Michael's reaction. Like, mm-hmm. you know, sort of if Michael would have been calm and or maybe even like tried to make excuses or more excuses or something, then yeah. I think that he would have had a little bit more to say. But the fact that like Michael immediately starts or almost immediately starts crying and is like reaching out to him like, I'm really sorry. That is what causes Jim to be like, whoa, okay, like it's not that deep that I'm so upset about it that I'm like able to deal with you being sad about this, so we'll just move on.
And yet the episode does not end there. I feel like this episode has so many different like possible endings. Like, we could have ended on the reveal about Oscar and like Dwight kind of sitting between Oscar and Gil, like, yes. on their couch in their living room, like hanging out. It could have ended there. It could have ended here with, you know, Jim forgiving Michael for spilling all the beans, and I don't want this to affect our friendship. But we keep on going. It keeps going. And Michael now accidentally, after all of this, tells Pam that no, it wasn't years ago, Pam, that Jim liked you. It was now at the booze cruise. And he tries to cover. He's like, nope, not gonna say anything. He tries to cover it up, but doing all that though,
in and of itself,
Pam is human and she has ears and she heard all of that. And we do end up closing out the episode with an extraordinarily awkward, weird elevator ride that we just see the very beginnings of. And for me, I feel like I just want to mention this theory of mine. Like, I just feel like their friendship in this moment has shifted a little bit, or a lot bit, but it's almost like the mystery behind their feelings for each other were kind of fueling some of the flirting. And it was like this idea of, if nobody knows, then our little friendship flirting that we have is okay, because no one said it, right?
Yeah.
But as soon as you say it, now it's serious. And so I think that Pam is reevaluating everything about Jim. And now Jim's reevaluating everything about Pam, because now he kind of like half told her.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all shifted. And now it's like, I think even Pam says in the episode, oh, now are you going to act all weird around me? And it's like, yeah, because now the context of our flirting isn't just we're friends, it's we have more feelings for each other than that.
Stuff got real.
Yeah. And yeah, so it gets way heavier. And so that elevator ride is it's heavy. But I wonder what's going to happen next week. Well, I don't wonder. I know. But
you know, and many of our listeners know.
Yes.
But we will talk more about that when it comes around. Because, Tiff, it is time to hand out this week's Dundee.
Let's do it.
This week's Dundee, the Awesome Author Award, goes to writer Shay Serrano and illustrator Arturo Torres, who paperlessly published a series of hilarious illustrated essays about our favorite Dunder crew. You need this. We all need this. Get on up here and accept your Dundee. Woo!
This thing is amazing.
It's so great. You need to go out and buy this work of art. We're going to have a link in the show notes. Tiff already purchased it. I bought it mm-hmm. today. The artwork in this is incredible. The writing in this is so funny. It is fantastic. It's available for $20 on Gumroad. And if you are an Office super fan, you need this. Like Michael having Ryan sit on his lap while he's Santa Claus, you need this.
You need this. Yeah. Shay and Arturo, like, if you have any way of actually paperly paperly publishing this. Like, if you put it up on Blurb or something and just have people buy it, I will give you money. Like, $50, I would buy a copy of this just to have these really cool illustrations and these hilarious essays on my shelf as my little book trophy, like I like to have. It is just wonderful.
Like a coffee table book, even. I have a place underneath my coffee table where I have all sorts of little fun things that I like to share with people, or like, oh, you got to check this out. This would be perfect for that. Like, look at this. This is so
but
great.
In the meantime, you have to download this. You have to buy the digital copy, because it's a really great read. I had a wonderful time reading it. It's very, very funny. I also want to mention about, you know, this little... I don't know, office meeting. We're having a meeting. Yeah. Hey, everybody.
Conference room.
5 minutes. Now, last week we talked about people who use wheelchairs, and we used the phrase people are in wheelchairs. We just wanted to correct that for anybody. People aren't in wheelchairs. They use wheelchairs. And Micah and I are going to try and have a better vocabulary about that. And no one brought it up to us. It wasn't a thing. Like, no one was upset that we heard. But in case anyone was upset, we just want to be better people all around. We don't want to be Michael Scott's. So we want
apologize for that. Yeah, and we will go forth being better.
Yeah. So thanks. So, so people who use wheelchairs. And I also want to mention that we are now going to be following Dundee winners on Twitter. So any of you out there, our wonderful, beautiful listeners who have won a Dundee, you will be followed on our Twitter account, which is tall_beats. And so that way we can keep a little collection of all of our little trophies out there. But anyone out there who's interested in winning a Dundee or into the show, drop us a tweet, drop us a DM. DM? Oh, that sounds weird.
Slide into our DMs, Tiff says.
I hate that phrase.
And yet. Anyway,
over on The Incomparable, we have a Slack for members who get some membership over there, and we will chit-chat in there with people. There's so many different ways. We kind of just go through all of the ways our wonderful fans interact with us, and we pick out our Dundee winners over on iTunes. Anyway, you know all the things.
All the places.
Well, hopefully everyone will join us back at the office next week, and we love you all, and happy
up dog.
Up dog. Yeah. Watch out for all those up dogs out there. They're dangerous.
What are up dogs?
What's up with you, dog? Yeah. Still can't do it.
One of these days you'll get it. I just hope that this doesn't affect our friendship.